chapter 6 for us, so that you're Romans chapter 6. Okay? Y'all ready? All right.
What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too many live a new life. If we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body of sin might be done away with him, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Jesus Christ. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness. For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? By no means. Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone to obey him as slaves, you are slaves to the one whom you obey, rather whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness? But thanks to be God, that though you used to be slaves to sin, you wholeheartedly obeyed to the form of teaching to which you entrusted. You have been set free from sin, and you have become slaves to righteousness. I put this human terms because you are weak in your natural selves. Just as you used to offer the parts of your body in slavery to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer them in slavery to righteousness leading to holiness. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. What benefit did you reap at that time from the things you are now ashamed of? Those things result in death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result in eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God in eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord.
There you go. You know, Katie does the bulletins on Saturday morning, so I have to kind of write up the songs and pick them. That way she can come over and she can do the bulletin. Well, I sent everything to her, and then after I sent it to her, I'm sitting there and I heard a song on the radio. And, you know, I don't know about how many ever get those little nudges from God. You know, your little Holy Spirit just like, voot, voot. You know, you can't. If you try to tell somebody that's Jesus, they will think you're crazy. But you know, don't you? You just plain know. And so I went, the bulletin's already done. He goes, change it. Okay. So the last song is going to be kind of cool.
We had this whole idea, and I'm just going to tell you, the whole subject of spiritual depression is kind of interesting because
I don't know about I know y'all do. We all kind of go through ups and downs and valleys, and sometimes there's physical things that are cause of it, sometimes mental things, sometimes a reflection of our own will, because we have a mind, an emotion, and a will. That is our inner being. That's our soul. And there's a lot of times when I'm not getting what I want through the mind, emotion, and will, and that has a tendency to make me unhappy. Anybody know what that means? Sometimes I'd like to be a kid again, but then I remember that as I was a kid, I was constantly being yelled at and corrected. So, it's a little bit better now, but I have to admit to you, there are times I kind of get up and then I go down. And so when I found this this book, and there are sermons that are actually online that you can listen to, I listened to a couple of them. And I was like, man, I never thought about that before. That's how you know it's Jesus. You go, oh, that's kind of cool. There's things I've never done before, things I've never tried. My wife and Gemma, we were in the car riding, and Gemma mentioned boba tea. Did I say that right? How many of you have ever had boba tea? Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Boba tea. Boba tea. And my wife says, wait. Look, there's a boba tea right there in Nokomis. Right beside Marco's Pizza. Right there almost at the corner of Albee Road and 41. By the way, Marco's Pizza's pretty good. So you can give it a try. I've eaten it. It's really good. So, we had to have some, Gemma had dance. We had to kind of make arrangements and schedule and time. And they said, well, on the way home, because I decided I have some work to do on my motorcycle, so I took it down to the Honda shop and found out it needed more work than I thought. It's okay. They planned to have boba tea on the way home. So they picked me up at the Honda shop, and we're going back getting boba tea. We walk in this place, and it's like Greek. Do you get that? I mean, every flavor and all these names of things, like, crystal boba and all that. I was like, I don't even know what a boba is. So you got to kind of look through the menu and decide, okay, I like mango, but do I feel like mango? And will that go with the strawberry jellies, or since I've never had them, or what kind of boba is in it? I don't know. So I took a stab at it. I figured it's summertime, beach, so I ordered the beach, and my wife custom made from her selections an almond one. And what did you get? Gemma got strawberry, right? So they come, they finally come, they make these things, and it's kind of like a mad scientist, they make these things, and they hand them to you, and they have this straw. The straw's like that big around. I'm like, what's the point of that? So I jam that thing in, and I take a suck, and I didn't realize what I was going to get. I got a mouthful of pearl-sized tapioca balls. That's boba. Yeah, that's boba. And I sit back and I think, somebody actually invented that. They said, here we got these refreshing drinks that we can make, and I'll just drop tapioca in it, big old balls in it, and, we'll also take our, Swedish fish and cut them into pieces and drop them in there. And it'll be an experience. So it's kind of like chewing and drinking at the same time. Look, I got to tell you, it started out looking like a little strange, and I didn't like that it was almost $20 for three drinks. But after I went, that's different. That's different. So we all agreed that it was pretty cool. That it was interesting. I naturally suppressed it because It's $20. We ain't going to be going here every week or every day. It's too expensive. Attempting to find a little more information when I got home, I Googled boba tea. Come to find out, it's absolutely useless. Yeah, as a matter of fact, it's bad for you. It's mostly all sugars and starches and carbohydrates. What? And carcinogens. You know, it's like, look.
But it's
here. I got to thinking about it, and I thought, maybe I'll share that with Gemma as an excuse to never go back and get it. But wait a second. Did we have a good time? We had a great time. Did it kill me? No. Moderation. You know what? I'm cool with boba tea. Give it a try if you'd like. You know, sometimes we find ourselves into a hole. We get down, we get depressed, we get sad, and even though we're believers in Jesus Christ, for a number of reasons. And they're legitimate reasons. I walk around most of my life feeling guilty. Like I should have been doing something else. I shouldn't have done that. There's more I need to do. I need to beat on you people longer because you obviously ain't getting it yet.
Amen.
I want to go through some of those reasons of why we get down and why there's times when we're depressed and what kind of an answer we can give ourselves so that we don't do this, or when it comes, we recognize it for what it is. Okay? The very first one is kind of like boba tea. Ignorance. People say, well, I'm not ignorant, I'm a Christian. Well, that all depends on how smart you are as a Christian. You know, when I was born again, redeemed, justified, sanctified, washed in the blood of the Lamb, knew I was on the way to the kingdom, that didn't make me smart when it came to God's ways. My dad was learning the Bible and knew the Bible well, and I was supposed to know that because I live in the same house. But to be honest with you, I wasn't getting it. I'd go to Sunday school when I was a kid. One week they'd talk about Elijah, the next week they'd talk about Noah, and I didn't understand the whole point of trying to put it together. But when you become a believer and a Christian, when you learn, when you say, I know that I am in Christ, you have to now take the next step and learn what that really means. It's something that we grow into. And a lot of people don't. They just kind of make assumptions. They are ignorant in the doctrine and the Word of God. We don't know. And so therefore, we allow our emotions or our feelings affect us. Another thing that really kind of affects us badly, on top of all this, is not only our ignorance, but we have an enemy, don't we? Now, how many would say that Satan is a really, really bad force to contend with? Yeah. On one hand, he is. But on the other hand, he's not. What power does Satan have in your life? Doesn't really have any power except for one. He can sway you. He plants little things into your head. Remember that bad thing that you did? Remember? Remember? You know that bad thing you want to always continue to do? Remember? He has a power of suggestion that he can tell us and prod us and keep stabbing at us. And at that point, he can actually make us feel like we're defeatable, doesn't he? So we can get down and depressed by being ignorant of the truth. And we also get down and depressed because of how we feel with Satan kind of reminding us. If you have your Bibles, open up to the chapter 6 again.
Let me show you two right here. It says that if we have been, chapter 6, verse 5, if we have been united with Christ, that's who the hymn is, like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. You get that?
When Christ was on the cross dying for you, where were you? Huh? You weren't born yet. In God's economy, where were you?
Right with him.
Who said that? You were on the cross with him. Do you understand that? When Christ died, you died. You got that? When Christ came up from the grave, he arose on Easter Sunday, where were you? You rose with him. God loves Jesus Christ, his son, more than anything in the universe. What's he think about you? He loves you more than anything in the universe. Because you are in Christ and Christ is in you. Do you understand that? Now, do you understand that? You grasp that concept because you can't really truly understand it. What's that? We have to choose him. We have to make the decision to choose him. But I know everybody here. I know everybody here. I know where you stand. I know that there's not a person in this room that hasn't chosen Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. I know that for an absolute fact. Is it possible that anybody here in this room could end up in the lake of fire?
No.
Absolutely not. Thank you for saying that, because a lot of churches, people go to church and they don't understand that concept. Once you've been born again, once you've been redeemed, once you belong to him, you can't unbelong to him. It's like the baby. I can't unborn Gemma. She is my granddaughter. She will always be my granddaughter. There may be times in the future I help her dad go chase her now, but we will. The point is this, is that I am in him, he is in me. And so, from the ignorant standpoint, it says in verse 6, for we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body of sin might be what? Done away with, that we should no longer live in it. We carry around, this Bible says, we carry around this heavenly treasure in an earthen vessel, don't we? And sometimes it raises its ugly head because of ignorance, and sometimes because of Satan prodding us. And it makes us think, feel, and seem like we are walking and living in a sinful state. What did that just say? We are not sinners. It cannot be applied to me. I am free from the law of sin and death. I got somebody right now that I am just so upset with. I am so angry. I wish I, you know, I'm to the point of like I like go grab them and just shake them. The problem is this, it wouldn't matter if I went and go shake them. Did I say that? It wouldn't matter. Because they don't want to hear the truth. They don't want to continue to follow in the way that they're going, even though I have told them over and over and over and over again, you need to follow Jesus Christ, not the law. No, they're not listening. I can't help somebody like that. If you don't want to hear, there's nothing we can do. Jesus said that you no longer have any sin applied to you, ever. What about the sin I'm going to do tomorrow? Did you read that in the Bible when she said that Jesus Christ died, what? Once for all, and all for one. You are forgiven. You are free. You are his. We don't need to be ignorant. For verse 9 says, for we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. In the same way, you count yourself dead to sin, but alive in Christ. Do you see that right there? The Word just said that to you. You are dead to sin. You are dead to the old way. You are dead to the law of death. And you are now alive in Christ. Problem is, we don't sometimes understand that. We're ignorant of those facts. Satan likes to come and remind you of the things that you have done or you're doing. Well, people turn around and say, well, you know, if I'm free and there's no sin applies to me, why don't we just go ahead and do it anyway? You know, you can't preach that because then what you're doing is saying people have a license to sin. You don't need a license, as it's been said over and over and over again. You're sinning pretty well without one. Get over it. Live your life unto God as He said in life, because how many people really enjoy the things that they do in a sinful state? Let that hang there for a minute.
So we've got the situation there with the ignorance. We got Satan. We have the another problem that we have, verse 18 and 19. Move this here. It says, you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. I put this in human terms because you are weak in your natural selves. Just as you used to offer the parts of your body in slavery to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer them in slavery to righteousness, leading to holiness. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. Circle this verse, please. Verse 21. What benefit did you reap at that time from the things you are now
ashamed of? Ever get a nasty thought, a wild hair, crazy idea, an urge, a splurge? Oh, man, I miss that. Oh, I'd like to do that again. Oh, if only I could relive that. You ever have that?
Yeah.
Right there is a key. We need to, in our head, we need to reflect this verse of Scripture. What benefit did you gain when you did those things before? I'm very fortunate. I'm sharing this with you because I am fortunate. Alcoholism was rampant on both sides, my mom and dad's family both. Not that they were, but their families were bad.
Benefits should be changed to baggage.
Benefits what?
The word benefits should be changed to baggage.
I'm lost.
Well, it says,
the benefit you reap.
What benefit did you reap?
What benefit did you reap?
You reap baggage, probably.
You reap baggage. You reap all kinds of bad stuff. You're carrying that with you all the time. When I was growing up, I tried my hand at drinking. Thank God. All I can say is thank God. Because I can only attribute this to him, because everybody else in my family had no problem as far as my uncles and my grandfathers and that kind of thing. I mean, they could drink like fish. When I tried it as a teenager, I got so sick and so hungover. I'm not talking about one day. I'm talking about days. Days. And so this came true. What benefit did you reap? And so I didn't stay at it long enough to gain any baggage, because I put two and two together. If I do this, I'm going to feel like this. And so I don't. And that's pretty cool. Now, that is a blessing. Some of you people might not have that gift of God. Max, you might not have that gift of God, so be careful. You know, you could easily go down that road and find out that it's wide open. But the key there is that God has asked me to reflect on my life and see what I've got, what I don't. Where am I? Where am I not? And I have the ability to think in my head and measure that. Man, that sounds great, but the last time I did that, I was throwing up all over the place. I don't want to go there again. Right? I got in trouble. I got caught. I wrecked. Whatever it happens to be. So first is ignorance. Second is Satan. The next one is to failure to apply what you have been told. Jem is old enough now. We went down the other day to TJ Maxx. I'm picking on you this weekend because I got to get story illustrations somewhere. Went down to TJ Maxx. We had a great dinner. We went out, had fun, enjoyed, dropped a lot of money on a dinner. Did you find out that going out to eat is outrageously expensive now?
Yeah.
I mean, we even got a free appetizer, and the three of us, it was over $70. That was out tip. That wasn't even tip.
Yeah.
And we went out again last night, and none of us even got a steak except her off the kid menu. It was still $70. Like, you know what? It's getting nuts. Prices are going through the roof. It costs. It costs. So we ended up going down to TJ Maxx, and I apologize, but it was probably after we ate the reason why I wasn't feeling really very generous. But she found this little thing that she liked, you know, and she walked to me and says, Papa. And she tried to give me the old eyes, you know, Papa. And I'm still reeling from the hole in the wall, and I'm like,
what do you want now?
What? Look, he's so soft and squishy. You want me to buy you that? Never mind.
Go to grandma next time.
My wife looked at me and went, but I always fall for it. I always fall. It is like, you know what? You're going to need a little more here. You're going to need a little more than just that little story. Oh, isn't he so soft? So I didn't buy it for her. We got in the car. I said, Gemma, you didn't sell me. What? You didn't sell me. You really didn't want it that bad, or you wouldn't have fallen so fast. So I told her, would you like the ability to be able to sell me, to be able to influence people, to make friends with them? Because I always had in my house a rule that when you're old enough, and Mike, Max, you're sneaking up on this, there's a book that you need to read called How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie. It's old, I get it. There's a lot of people dispute that because they don't like what he said. But I had a copy of it, and I brought it out, and I said, Gemma, here's the book. And I'll tell you what, I will give you $50 if you read it. What? $50 to get the ability to influence, to make friends, to make something of yourself if you just learn what's in the book. She went, $50? Okay. And when I turned it around, I had a section. It was actually three books in one, and all she had to really read is this much. She didn't know that up front. If there was a way for you to know how to live your life in victory, to be more joyful, to not succumb in ignorance, not to fall for the wiles of Satan, for not be taken advantage of, do you want to know about it? Would you pay for that? Would you give the time and the effort necessary to do just that? Because that's exactly what the Word of God says. If you put it into you, it will change. If you apply it to your life, it will change you. You are not dead, you are alive. Let me close with this. Verse 22. Now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness. And the result is eternal life, for the wage of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. Part of the problem, and I learned this, save this for the hook, here's the hook that you take home with you. Part of the problem that I have and that you have, that we all have, is we listen to ourselves. I feel bad. I really want. We listen to ourselves instead of talking to ourselves. You get that? Psalm 42, you can read that too, add that to your list. Psalm 42 finds David saying, oh, why are you disquieted within me, O heart? What is wrong with you? Why are you so downcast? Why is your soul so sad? Trust in God. You will yet praise Him. We need to be talking more to ourselves, telling us these facts, that I don't belong to Satan, that I am not a sinner, that I am not a liar, that I don't have to succumb to that stuff, and that there's no benefit in doing that, that I have the righteousness and I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Does that make sense to you? So as I'm kind of going through life and I'm a little tired, I'm a little sore, I sit there and kind of start to get in the feeling like, oh, woe is me. God is trying to tell me, oh, no, this is only temporary. Wait till you see what's coming. You don't even have to wait. You can have joy right now. You got that? I like this song. Let's see what this song is. A little bit different.